And so we're just going to go out and we're going to celebrate, just have fun together, because many times we don't celebrate. And we have a reason to celebrate. So we're going to all come together. We're going to celebrate. We're just going to have fun. That's going to be on the 30th. And then you can go out, even if you're not playing incredible ball, you can go out and support the youth, because they're going to be raising money to go to NAYC, which is, it's going to be probably 30,000 to 35,000 young people in St. Louis. And it's one of the largest gatherings of apostolic young people of all denominations. This is the largest. And so that's pretty amazing. And so you'll be supporting that. But just want to say thank you to all of our men on security. We appreciate you serving, Brother Johnny, and your staff, our sound, our media. I appreciate my sweet wife in Sunday school, her and her team. They do such a wonderful job. Our musicians, our praise singers, our greeters, ushers, just all of you. From my heart, I thank you, because God hasn't asked one person to do this by themselves, but together as the body of Christ, working together for the kingdom is a beautiful thing. Amen. So I just want you to know that love and appreciate all of you, and thank you again for being here tonight. The book of Matthew, chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 18 and 19. And if you're with us, say amen. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Father, we thank you for your word. Now for the next few minutes, Lord, just anoint my mind and my mouth and help me to speak, Lord, your word into the hearts of your hearers, that, Lord, in due season, this seed of your word will bring forth fruit, and it will accomplish your will and purpose in the earth. And everybody say amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. You can be seated. I want to take just a minute to dissect this particular passage of Scripture. I cannot get deep into it because it's a study within itself. But many have been taught that this verse refers to us being able to bind spirits, bind devils, lose the power of the Holy Spirit. But that is not the case. Matthew 16 and 19 and Matthew 18 and 18 really does not have anything to do with demons and binding the work of Satan. First of all, notice the language in verse 19. It says, whatever, not whoever. Did you catch that? It says, whatever, not whoever. So this is really, when you begin to study it, this is really talking to the church. And in verse chapter 18 of 18, it's talking about how to handle matters in the church. He's talking to his disciples, and he's talking about how to handle matters in the church. And he's telling the disciples that if you permit this in the church, well, then God will allow it. But if you bind it, then God will not allow it. This is not referring to spirits. Okay? Now, I do believe that I can take Matthew 16 and 19 and bring it down to an individual level, because Paul basically says this in Corinthians. He says that if you eat this meat and your conscience doesn't bother you, then you're permitted to eat it. But if someone comes in and says, look, this meat was offered to idols, then If your conscience bothers you, then you don't eat it. Well, then that's up to you as well. So you can eat the meat or you cannot eat the meat based on your conscience. Do you agree with that? Are we all on the same page? So I need that to lay a foundation so that you will understand where I want to go tonight. Now, there was one leader, it was actually St. Augustine. He was an early church father, and he said this. If you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write this down. This is a very wonderful statement. St. Augustine said this. He said, without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. If you're taking notes, please write that down. Why? Because that is a great description of how our authority and dominion works in the earth. So I'm going to say it again. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. Why are the angels not preaching the gospel today? Because it's not their season or their time to preach the gospel. Their time will come, but it's not now. In fact, when God got ready to present the gospel to Cornelius, he did not send an angel. He showed the apostle Peter a vision and sent the apostle Peter to preach to Cornelius. And then that's when Cornelius, as a Gentile, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But an angel did not do that. Are you with me? Why is that important? It's because God gave dominion to man, and right now is man's time. And he is going to require of us to carry out his will in the earth. It's not the angel's season, it's man's season. Am I making sense? So without God, we cannot. And without us, God will not. You're important, ladies and gentlemen, because God sees you as a born-again child of God, as a representative of Christ up on the earth. Am I making sense now? See, without God's power and without God's Spirit, we cannot affect the earth for the kingdom of God. That which is of flesh is flesh. That which is of spirit is spirit. Flesh cannot affect the kingdom of God. It takes flesh because your flesh houses the treasure. So it takes the flesh, but your flesh is not what affects the kingdom of God. It's your spirit, your born-again spirit, that affects the kingdom of God in the earth. That's why the scripture says, without the Spirit of God, you are none of his. Why? Because without his Spirit, you cannot carry on the ministry that Christ started in the earth. Are you with me now? So here's why this is important. Without our agreement and permission through prayer, God will not intervene. You got quiet on that one. Okay, so I'm going to say it again. Without our agreement and permission through prayer, God will not intervene. You say, why did God pray? God prayed, Jesus prayed as a man to give God permission. You say, God don't need permission. Yes, he does. He doesn't just come into your heart without your permission. I know that when we say accept Jesus Christ, we feel like that's another denomination's language. And I understand that. But really, you when you accept Jesus Christ, you ask him to come into your heart. You're accepting him. You're giving him permission to come into your life. God just doesn't bulldoze you down and say, I'm coming whether you want me or not. He doesn't, brothers and sisters. He's a gentleman. You give him permission. Prayer is giving God permission to intervene in the affairs of man. That's why Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. Prayer is giving him permission to intervene in your life. Are you with me? We say God can do anything. Yes, he can, but God won't do everything. Now, you guys, what I'm about to tell you is very sensitive, and I mean it. It's very sensitive. But I must say it in order to give you a concrete illustration of this point. My sweet wife was abused as a child. And this is going to be very hard to say and for you to take. But as much as God loved Janet and wanted to protect her, he did not come down in the flesh and protect her. You say, how come God allowed that? God did not allow my wife to be abused. There is no abuse in heaven. There is no sin, sickness, or disease or in heaven. God did not allow that. Man in the garden sinned against God. And because of sin, there is brokenness and abuse and sickness and death. That was never the will of God. It was never the will of God for my wife to be abused. Someone should have stepped in there in human flesh and said, no, you are not doing this to this child. But God didn't. God can do anything, but he won't do everything. What do you mean? This is the day of man. God allows us to rule and reign. So God did not come in the form of Jesus Christ and stop the abuse for my wife, but neither did he allow it. It happened because of man's disobedience to God. Does that make sense? God never wanted you, if you've been abused, to be abused. Now, here's the good news. For people that are in the church, even though bad happened to you, God can take it and work it for your good. Because now you can look at my beautiful wife. She is physically beautiful to me, and she is internally beautiful. Why? Because she's allowed God to wash away all of that past and hurt and abuse. And now what you see is a godly, wonderful, beautiful lady. But can I tell you that because it happened, she has taken her pain and not hidden it in shame. She's taken her pain and used it for others' gain. And to let them know, yes, I was abused. No, it wasn't God. It was man and his will in his sinful state. But God is going to take this and let you know that if he brought me through, he can bring you through. And that's what happened to you, but that's not who you are. Does this make sense? So just as it makes sense now, brothers and sisters, God does not come down and do for us what we must do in the kingdom. God can do anything, yes, but he won't do everything. He won't break his own laws. Are you with me? He won't break his own laws. Okay? We, and I know this is very strong language, but we as believers are in charge. He has left us in charge of the earth. Now I'm going to give you a very, very simple example of this in the natural, okay? When I was 18 in 1985, my dad and mom bought me, put a down payment, a small down payment, small, key word, on a 1985 blue Trans Am with T-tops, had the silver eagle on top. You pushed the little button in the console and the lights came up. Yeah. And I had hair back then. And I was 18. I'll let you have an imagination. I was very, Janet can back all this up. She was around in those days. Very particular about my car. And what I'm fixing to tell you, you're going to think I'm lying, but I'm not. I got custom-made mats with my name on it, and then I got towels to put over my custom-made mats. This is true. And I would not allow anyone to eat in my car. No one. I'm not fabricating this story. It's true. So I was dating this little girl, and she told me, she said, Wayne, I'm really thirsty. I want to go through Wendy's. Would you go through Wendy's drive-thru and get me something to drink? And I said, no. I did. And she looked at me and she thought I was joking. She said, no, I'm really thirsty. Go through the drive-thru. And I looked at her and said, no. She said, why? Because I said, no one eats or drinks in my car. She said, you're joking. I didn't take her through the drive-thru and she never dated me again. That's a true story. But I didn't care. Of the fish in the sea, baby. I caught my one. You say, well, that's crazy. Well, guess what? It's my car. I make the rules. If I don't want you eating or drinking in my car, if you want to eat and drink, you can get in somebody else's car and mess it up, but not mine, right? Now, that is a very extreme, simple example of your authority and your dominion that you have in the Spirit. It's your mind. It's amazing how we want to control things we can't control, like the weather and other people, but we don't take control of the one thing we do have control over, and that is our mind. We let our mind go crazy on us. Instead of bringing every thought into captivity, we let it dwell on fear and what we're not and what we think we can't do, and we compare ourselves to somebody else, and we let our mind just go crazy, and that's the one thing you can control, and you choose not to because you're wanting to control all these other things that you can't, like people. You have the authority and dominion over your mind, over your body, and over your spirit. And you have to allow what you are, you have to decide, what am I going to allow? What am I going to prohibit? And what am I going to permit? Have I made sense? And you say, well, where's God in all this? He's watching, because whatever, let's go back to our text, Matthew 16 and 18, 19, whatever you permit, He says, okay. Whatever you prohibit, God says, okay. And you are the one who has to make that decision. Have I made sense? Okay. Now, God doesn't, brothers and sisters, just step in and do something because He wants it done. Doesn't happen. God needs a body, a physical body, to get His will done on the earth. Through Jesus, God got the body that He needed to destroy the works of the devil. Okay, now you're going to have to stay with me on this one. God put man in charge. Man lost his authority. So guess what had to happen in order for man to get his authority back? A man had to come back, because the Spirit of God didn't come and restore that, correct? So God had to have a body. So what did He do? He created a body for Himself in the person of Jesus Christ, so that the only perfect God-man came into the world. Paul says that Jesus was the second Adam, to restore what the first Adam lost. So basically, God, the God-man Jesus, restored in the Garden of Gethsemane what Adam lost in the garden, which was the paradise of God. But the Spirit of God didn't come and restore dominion and authority. Christ did. as Jesus, the God-man. Because man lost it, man had to restore it. Does this make sense? Are you with me? So God needs a body. And guess what? He still needs a body to do his will on the earth. It's not coincidence, brothers and sisters, that we are called the what? Body of Christ. What is the body of Christ supposed to do? We are to be the reflection of Jesus in the earth. When Jesus came to the earth, he brought heaven down to earth. And he showed everyone at that time what heaven looked like. Heaven looked like what Jesus brought to the earth. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He raised the dead. He fed the multitudes. He had dominion over storms. He had dominion over fear, doubt, worry, unbelief. Jesus brought heaven to earth. Do you agree? Now we have to go back again. Jesus now still needs a body for his will to be done in the earth. Just like the devil needs a body for his will to be done in the earth. See, the difference between Christ and the devil is that God can create and Satan can't. He can only imitate. So God created a body through Jesus Christ. And if the devil could, he would, but he can't. One day he will incarnate himself in the Antichrist. And that day is coming. But both God and the devil, because they are both spirits, they both need a body. Now guess what? You're in the middle and you get to choose. Because God won't make you choose him and the devil can't. You have that choice. So now every day you get to decide, am I going to walk according to my flesh? Or am I going to walk according to my spirit? Do I understand that I am Jesus's representative upon the earth? Paul calls us ambassadors. What do ambassadors, what is their function? They are to represent the motherland, the homeland. They don't go, let's say that you have an ambassador from the U.S. that goes to Mexico. They don't go into Mexico and speak the Hispanic language. They go and they speak the mother language. They represent the U.S. of A. And the U.S. of A. backs them in all that they do as long as they abide according to the laws and regulations. We, brothers and sisters, are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We speak the mother language. What is that language? With stammering lips and another tongue will I give my people. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me now? We are to represent Christ in the earth. Has this all made sense? See, this is where you come in. Look at three people and tell them, you're so important. You are so important. Why am I so important? Because I represent Christ in the earth. I am his ambassador. I am to carry on what he started. Does that all make sense? See, God is not going to just come down. Brothers and sisters, I've never seen God come down and slap a cigarette out of somebody's mouth. Have you? I haven't either. And guess what? He never will. You know why? Because you have a choice. Are you going to yield your members to the flesh? Are you going to yield your member to the spirit? Are you going to be a representative of Christ as a son? Are you going to give yourself over to the lust of your flesh? And guess what? That's not a weekly decision. That's not a monthly decision. That is a daily decision. That's why you've got to, brothers and sisters. You must, I implore you, to make sure that you're spending some time with the Lord. God, Lord, I'm giving you permission to work in my life today. Father, I submit myself to you. Put me at the right place at the right time. Give me a word of encouragement for somebody, Lord. Help me to reflect your love, your kindness, your compassion in the earth today. I want to be like Jesus, act like him, talk like him, walk like him. I want to be his representative in the earth. Can I get a witness? This is why you are so important. And when we say yes to the Lord and we say yes to the indwelling of Christ in us, then God can continue his work. Here's where the war starts. The war starts is when Christ is in you, but our minds haven't been renewed or transformed. Romans 12:2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And see, this is kind of hard to get for some of us because we've basically been taught that we are just, how do I say this? We really haven't been taught that we're sons.
That's right. Yeah.
30 minutes goes way too quick. Okay, can I just, I'm gonna relate to you something that's happened, okay? And I'm not in any way degrading, I promise to God, I'm not in any way degrading anyone. But this has truly happened. So, a pastor gets up and looks at his people and says, well, folks, I just want you to know that one of our 10-ton units went out. And the technician came and told me that it's basically $1,000 a ton. So we're looking at $10,000 to replace this 10-ton unit that helps keep this church cool. And we really need a good offering tonight, and I really hope that all of you sweet people dig deep and let's give a really good offering because we need $10,000. So the people give, do the very best they can. In the offering, they count it, it's $2,000. The pastor comes back the next Sunday night and he's very upset. Didn't I not appeal to you people? This is your church. I'm asking for $10,000 and yet you only gave two. We need $10,000. I ask you to give deep. And basically, he starts getting red in the face. He starts getting very upset because he needed $10,000 and only got two. Now, bless his heart, what he didn't realize is that for the last 40 years, he's basically been teaching his people have nothing, do nothing, and be nothing if you want to be like Christ. And the key verse is, the foxes have holes and the bird have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And so if you want to be like Christ, basically, whether he said this or not, he was insinuating, you have to be nothing, do nothing, and have nothing, because Christ didn't have anything. But now here's my question. What about the scripture that says he became poor so that we might become rich in faith? What about the scripture that says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers and is in health? What about the scripture that says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? He owns it all, but he wants his kids to have some of it. Now, sure, that's a paraphrase, but what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that for so many years, we have been taught that we're just servants. And then when we, as pastors, get up and have a need and we don't get the $10,000, then we're like, what's wrong? Don't you know it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? This message is not about money. I promise you it's not. I don't believe for one second that God wants us all to be millionaires and live in Mack mansions and drive Ferraris. That's not what this is about. What this is about is understanding who we are as sons of God and as daughters of God and walking in that authority and dominion and not seeing ourselves as lowly subjects and lowly servants. And I believe in serving because that is the nature of Christ. But I serve understanding I'm a son, not a slave. I serve understanding because when I serve you, I'm serving the body of Christ. So I do it out of delight, not out of duty. Am I making sense? Because I want to serve the Lord with joy, not out of obligation. I want to serve him knowing that when I serve you, I'm serving his body. And I'm fulfilling the purpose. I'm fulfilling my purpose of why I'm on the earth. Does this make sense? And so I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that God does want you blessed as you come in and blessed as you go out. Not just so you can be blessed and live in a Mac mansion. And I'm not against mansions or Ferraris or being blessed. Please, do you understand what I'm saying? What I am saying is that God wants all of us as sons to have enough for ourselves and enough to give away. He wants us to be able to bless the world, not only through our gifts that we have personally, but through our gift of finance. Because of your generosity, this church and everything around here is debt free. Because of your generosity, the sun never sets on TPC. When you're falling asleep, somebody's waking up and is going to take the gospel. That couldn't happen without you. Am I making sense tonight? But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that God doesn't just come down and put $100 in the offering because we need it. You are his hands and you are his feet and you are his representative. Yes, he became poor. That insinuates that he became what he was not. Right? If you become something, that means you were not it, but you become it. He became what he was not so you could become what he is. Did you get it? You are his son. You are his daughter. And you are to walk in authority and dominion. Okay, I'm going to give you one more example and then I'm going to go. Very practical, very simple. Let's say that you invited somebody into your house. You didn't know them all that well, but you were being kind. You invited them into their house and they looked around and they said, oh, your house is so beautiful. It's so pretty. You mind if I... just kind of look around. You're like, sure, fine. That's fine. So they start looking around and they go into your bedroom. And at that moment, you realize, you know what? I left $300 cash on my nightstand. And so you jump up real quick. And as soon as you walk in the room, you see them. They have their hand on it. And they're about to put it in their pocket. Now, you have two choices. A, you can act like you didn't see it and let them keep it. Or B, you can say, hold up, what are you doing? That's not yours. That belongs to me. Put that back down. Right? You say, oh, Brother Nealon, that would be rude. Rude? Really? Rude? They didn't work for that. They didn't earn that. They didn't mow grass and earn that money. I did. So now you have a choice what you are going to prohibit or what you are going to permit. And I think that 100 out of 100 hands would lift tonight if I ask you, would you allow that person to take that money? I think you would say no. Now, let's go back to our text. If you would not allow them to take that money because it don't belong to you, then why do you allow a Satan to come up in your grill and say, I'm going to take your health. Why don't you say, no, you're not. That don't belong to you. Jesus paid for that for me at Calvary. Come on, stand to your feet. I got to stop. Huh? Why don't you, if you would do that for $300, your health is way more important than $300. Come on, y'all, talk back to me tonight. Why do you allow Satan to come up again in your grill and say, I'm going to take your joy, and you just like, well, okay. No, why don't you sing that song? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and you ain't taking it away. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Well, you know what? I'm gonna take your money. No, that's not your money to take. God blessed me with that because his word says that all good gifts come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Get your hands off of God's money. You're trespassing on God's property. That belongs to me as a child of God. Have I made sense, baby? Whatsoever you bind, I ain't permitting that. Ever since I started preaching this, you would be amazed at how the devil has contested me. It's been one thing after another. And my daddy told me, he said, Wayne, watch what you say, son, and watch what you preach, not because you got to live in fear, but just know the devil will contest you. He will see if you really mean what you say. I'm not up here as some bad dude. I don't think like that, but I'm here to tell you that I am nothing in my flesh, but I am a son of God in my spirit. And I'm going to stand in my authority. I'm going to claim what rightfully belongs to mine. Healing is the children's bread. He said that he wanted me to be blessed as I come in and blessed as I go out. He said he wanted us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Yes, I love serving, but I'm more than a servant. I am a son of God. Have I just made sense? Now, God wants all of you to start seeing yourself as who you are. Let me dip in, and I'm going to quickly hurry. Dip into the message this morning. God doesn't define you by where you came from. He doesn't define you by your faults and your sins and your mistakes. He defines you by purpose. And God has purpose. Say purpose. God has purpose for every one of you. You say, Brother Neal, I don't know my purpose. Well, let me tell you. Here it is. You ready? I'm being sincere. Here's your purpose. You are to represent Jesus in the earth. And his will is to be done through you in the earth as it is in heaven. Because when Jesus said it's finished, boy, y'all, I promise you I could preach for another hour. I am refraining myself. Because when Jesus said it was finished, what is finished? His work upon the earth is finished. That's done. That's over. Jesus will never come in the flesh again and heal another sick person. Never will do it. You know how it's going to get done? Matthew 10 and 8. You know what he said? 10 and 8. Matthew 10 and 8. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Cleanse the leper. Freely you have received. What did I freely receive? I freely received the Spirit of Christ. When I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I got everything that Jesus was. The very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Come on, give God your best praise right now. Come on, praise him like you know who you are. Praise him like you know you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God.